was about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? A big, big win for Erik ten Hag and his Reds. Ooh, at Old Trafford, 3-1 against Arsenal. Top of the table, Arsenal. Arteta, all or nothing, Arteta. I'll tell you what, he had the kimono open, and he had it open today. It was a tough, hard-fought win. Team performance. Everyone in that 11 played well and contributed to all 3 points today, and it was a big one. Sir, Rashford with a brace. That back four looking solid again. Eriksen just like running out all over the pitch. Him and Bruno linking up, and even Scotty McSauce with a really, really solid performance. So, the best bit is that there's a little bit of VAR controversy just to kind of keep it hot because there's been a lot this weekend. This is probably the least egregious of the weekend, but they're whinging, and that makes it even sweeter. Sir, how are we feeling?
Sir, we won by 2 goals. That's only 1 goal. So it's like VAR is going to put the ball. VAR is going to put the ball in there for you, too. That just shows you how soft they are. We all knew it. Arsenal played like nobody. Thought they won the league. You might as well, you know, should have given them the Arteta Cup. The Arteta Cup is awarded to the team at the top of the table 5 games in. What a bunch of fools. What a bunch of losers. Whinging Arsenal, Arteta. Be a potato, sir. Love what I saw today. And that's what, like, some edge from Manchester United. Making the Arsenal players uncomfortable, the start, oh my God, the start, like, put them to the sword right out of the gate, and then that VAR situation kind of allowed Arsenal to get back in the game. But when it came down to it, it's like, we're playing at home, you know, we got Marcus Rashford, Bruno Fernandes, Christian Eriksen, we got a bunch of players, and they made the difference today. What a way to win. And Arsenal fans all over the world. I mean, we got a buddy. We have a friend who's an Arsenal fan. We haven't heard from him in like 5 years regarding Arsenal. Start texting us all the time now. And he hadn't texted us after that match. So, you know, it's one of those things where they're just fickle. They're a bunch of fickle fans. If you ever been to that stadium, it's like they are what they are. You know, Arsenal fan TV, have a laugh. 3 points, baby. Let's go.
Let's go indeed. It's going to make that 3-day weekend in the States. For those celebrating, even sweeter because it is a big 3 points after United start the season 2 losses in a row. Damning stuff. The front office finally decides to get their act together and throw in some big players, big signings. But it has to be said, Erik ten Hag managed the game very well. He used the subs to his advantage, took advantage of the fact that Arsenal was going for it and sliced them open on the counter. I wanted to see more of that. But either way, it was just like an unbelievable performance from all 11. That's what you have to say. The midfield is running it all over the place. Defense, bend but don't break. Even De Gea with a big save in the first half that kind of kept us with our noses in front. So the mentality is growing. You know, the only thing that gave me nerves at the end was when they had to bring on Maguire for Martinez, who went down with the cramp. And he gave away that quick yellow, sir. I was getting some meat sweats because I was a little worried things were going to go sideways. But dude, wasn't even perfect. United, you could hear it from the manager later. It's like there are things that can be improved upon even from this performance, even with a 2-goal advantage against the top-of-the-table team who, like you said, at the top of the table in August, that ain't nothing. But it was, you know, there's room for improvement. There are players that, you know, barely even featured that are going to have an impact this season. And the feels are getting there, sir. It was dark. And now that I see that sun's starting to come up, and it feels really good.
Now, look, we're miles away from playing the way Erik ten Hag wants to play, but you're seeing, like, a manager with resilience. I think really what the last 4 games, starting the way we did, and the last 4 games have showed us who ten Hag is, right? And it's showing us that the shoes fit. You know, these are some big shoes to fill, being the manager of Manchester United, and we've seen a lot of people trip up when they get into the job, and boy, that look on his face at Brentford looked like he was sweating. You want to talk about the meat sweats? Ten Hag was like, what is going on? I had a good preseason, this and that, and then all this whinging. And somehow, some way behind the scenes, obviously we don't, you know, we're not in the locker room just yet. You know, they don't allow the American Red Devils in the locker room for the pregame talks just yet. But something happened. He had like a kumbaya. You know, they, you know, got rid of the bad juju somehow, because all that I see is Erik ten Hag is number one. Ronaldo's not number one. Harry Maguire ain't number one. Luke Shaw ain't winching the press. Erik ten Hag's the boss, as it should be, as any great manager is, and the players are the players. And if you don't play well, you're out. And if you play well, you keep your job. And that's how it should be at Manchester United. And that attitude, that ethos, and the signings he's brought in has just turned this whole situation around, which is, like, incredible. There's going to be losses. There's going to be mistakes made. Like, that's just what – there's always ups and downs in this game. But right now you're seeing a manager who has grabbed the reins, wants to be there, and can do this job.
Sir, well said, and it's true. It's like this club, given its shortcomings in the front office, and I don't want to pile on there today, always needed a manager that was going to take full reins and kind of be a one-man club. And we had that under Fergie. It's been a shortcoming of the last 10 years, and why there's been, you know, no continued success and such a downfall. But Erik ten Hag looks like he's up for the job. He's adapted on the job. He's learning from mistakes made. His subs were really good. Maybe he could have been done a little bit earlier, but, you know, even I questioned that lineup when I saw it, and they came out and put together another blinder of a performance. It probably all started with that We Are the Titans moment when Brentford like famously outran us by 13 kilometers, and then he made everybody show up for training the next day, and he participated in that extra running session. Sort of hard-working attitude. I mean, I think we could have even put a couple more tackles in to the Gunners today, because they looked like they were ready to be taken, especially when he ran at them in the second half and we really kind of just started playing counter football with Fred breaking up play. So there's a lot of exciting things happening. Like you said, there's going to be bumps along the way, but we have players that are getting back into form, players that are linking up well together, and more importantly, we have the signings that he's made and supported and been behind very much so since the beginning are having an instant impact. Eriksen, for a free transfer, looks to be the signing of the summer. Unbelievable.
If you listen to the podcast, we said it. I said it. He'll be the signing of the summer. He transformed our midfield. And shout out to Scotty McSauce doing a job in the middle of the park. I'm sure everyone saw his name on the starting 11 and we're like, uh-oh. All right, quick PSA for the podcast. You like the American Red Devils. We are four fans by fans. We don't have any sponsors on this podcast. Me and Alex just do it for the love of the game. And this platform is all about getting the fan Muppet take out there. You want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. We just dropped our episode for August. We do a mailbag, get all your questions. We give away pin stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Check out our Patreon page, sign up. It goes a long way to support the small-time operation. Check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. We have great merch there. If you click on store, awesome fan-generated blog content. Like, subscribe. Everything goes a long way. It's just me and Alex doing this by the seat of our pants. I'm sick, so I'm remote today. Pod never sleeps. That's what it's all about. It's about following this great team, this team we love.
For fans, by fans, like you said it, sir, we are the American Red Devils. And the best way to support us, other than the ways you mentioned, joining Patreon, buying merch, is write a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to us. Make it 5 stars. And even better, if you do so, we're giving away some free swag just as a sign of appreciation. This is what you got to do. Write that 5-star review and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it right to your door. Absolutely free. Gets us helped found organically and support the pod. Here's a great review from Shake and Bake 04. Just great is the caption. Manchester United fan ? This is a great show. They give you such a good review of games, thoughts on players, transfers in the organization. They aren't just homers. Love that. They love the club so much that they are honest about the good, bad, and ugly. It's refreshing and a fun listen every week. Thank you, Shake and Bake. And thank you all the American Red Devils that are putting in those 5-star reviews. We appreciate it. It goes a long way. Sir. Manchester United 3, Arsenal 1. Let's go, Arteta. I'll tell you what. Be a potato, sir. You look like a potato today.
He's such like, oh my god,
speaking of homers, he's a homer.
We could have a separate podcast episode about Arteta just like waving his arms on the touchline. Like Pep Guardiola is like little henchman who like isn't any good at nothing, never won nothing, but for some reason like everyone, he's not good at his job. He will leave Arsenal. They will be good if they can get a Ten Hag, someone like that who actually knows what they're doing, but they're just soft. Arteta was soft when he played. He's soft as a coach. These players are soft. It's just the whole thing. It's like, look at the teams they played. They literally thought they were like the gonna win the league. What a joke. All right, getting to that lineup. Ooh, we got a lot to discuss here. Dave Saves rolled number one in net. Malisi at left back, Martinez, Varon, center back pairing DeLow at right back, Erickson, McTominay, midfield two, Fernandez in the hole, Sancho left, Rashford at number nine, and Antony right into the team on the right. What do you think of that lineup?
Sir, I had some question marks, you know. I believe in Erik ten Hag, of course, 100%, but back five picks itself, there's no doubts there. I just thought we would have seen Casemiro, maybe even a Fred, given how attack-minded this Arsenal side is. Even a Ronaldo, I thought he looked really good when he came in against Leicester City with his hold-up play and his pressing, even for that short period of time. And then Antony was the kind of the surprise. Like, that has not been Ten Hag's way with the new signings, right? He's usually, like, gotten them in slowly, brought them in as a sub for the last 30 minutes. Antony right into the fixture, £85 million, sir, go and earn it. That was exciting because it's like, hey, I believe in the lad. Clearly, I pushed for him. I signed a huge fee, our second biggest transfer fee ever. So he's given an opportunity to shine. What did you think when you saw his 11, sir?
I like the Antony start. It's bold. It's like, just get in there, do your thing. I mean, there's no better player who can play there. So he's got to play. I think it's very pragmatic for Ten Hag. McTominay, that was the one. How is Casemiro not starting?
I know.
You know, that's to me. But you also have to think, like, we don't have the full picture. We're just Muppets. We're like, Casemiro, five-time Champions League winner, Brazilian, he's great, yada, yada, yada. I'm sure, like, behind the scenes, Casemiro just got paid, and he's, like, chilling a little bit, and that's why he's not getting in. There's probably a really good reason Casemiro's not starting, which is, like, he's late or whatever. Like, you know, something's going on with Casemiro, or he's not fit or whatever. We just don't have the color. And McTominay is playing teacher's pet, and, you know, shout out to him, because managers can't, ever since Mourinho, managers can't drop him, and he had a hell of a game today. So this lineup, my judgment on it, proves to me you can trust Erik ten Hag to pick the best 11.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm just an armchair pundit at this point. Numptina knows nothing, because I
exactly,
you know, I was like, well, how could you not play Casemiro? But like you said, dude, he wasn't there for training. You know, he was a late signing. He was done the last 10 days of the window. So
he should be fit. He should be fit, ready to go. But he's seeing something that isn't right. And whatever McTominay's showing him, he's buying. And today at work, let's get into that first half, sir.
Sir, like you said, first 10 minutes, United came out on front. They looked out steady and looking to really just cut through that Gunners high press as they look to force United into a mistake. And early chance, 8th minute, DeLow put in a great ball for Erickson and had a chance with a volley. Went just wide, sir, but they looked threatening. Definitely from that right side once again, and Shaw continues to make his impact going forward.
I mean, we looked great to start. Had the ball, possessed the ball, moved the ball very well, took great chances, overloads on the left. This great ball in from DeLow. This was very close. This game could have been over early if Erickson puts this in. And I felt like, you know, I felt like this, you're playing at home, you're coming out hot. You should come out hot, but for whatever reason, we haven't been seeing this from United, right? You're used to, like, home team ready to go on the jump. You're going to get 15, 20 like this. And so it's good to see this again from United and looking sharp. And this is so early. I mean, the group of players, I think Antony just came in. So it's a good sign of where we're headed.
It is a good sign. And you know what? It was short-lived to a certain extent, because in the 12th minute, Arsenal ended up scoring after a heavy challenge on Eriksen. They go celebrate, and it was overturned by VAR, sir. I think this was the right call all day. I mean, if you looked at how the official was already calling the first 10 minutes, he was calling it pretty soft. So the fact that they would act like this wasn't a foul, given how he was calling it, now he continued to call it through the rest of the game. It was an obvious one in my mind, but obviously we're Manchester United, so Arsenal's a fixture. People are going to get upset, and people are upset, so let them whinge.
The way this comes about is, like, Manchester United, it's everyone's forward, right? Odegaard goes through Eriksen's back, and then they're on the break. It, like, creates the goal, like a foul from behind,
right,
when, like, we're on the attack, creates the goal, you know? So it's not like this is a soft foul, like, in the box on the lead, or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, without winning the ball via this foul, there is no chance of a scoring opportunity. So
and it is
this
a foul.
This is the right call. It was egregious. So they got it right once this weekend. VAR is having a tough time. Look, VAR is going to be a mess. Just Lord hope they figure it out for the World Cup, but this is going to be a tough one. This has been a tough weekend for VAR. 32nd minute, Dave saves, big save from the Spaniard as Arsenal put United under pressure. Look, we might have gotten the VAR call, but the momentum was over. Arsenal were all over us for this 20 minutes. They're winning the ball up high. We couldn't do anything. We can't play around their press. They could play around our press. It was just like hoofball stuff. Somehow we would win it in the middle of the park, and then Bruno would give it away. Rashford would give it away. The idea of this pattern of play, which we saw for almost 40 minutes, we saw this in the second half too, is like, that's what I was like, a Casemiro would try to like give the defenders someone to pass to, take pressure off, a veteran who knows when to hold it. You know, I just felt like we just couldn't get control of the game here, and Arsenal did look good. They did nothing with it, though, just as Dave saves here.
So that was a big save for him. Arsenal were, you know, managing the possession. They were having some pressure, but I agree with you.
They were winning the ball high. They were winning the ball high.
They didn't have a lot of clear-cut chances.
They would get it back. No, but I understand, but they were imposing their will on us. Like, after that VAR foul, it's like they were winning the ball up high on the pitch. We couldn't pass out of their press. They would go deep. Then they'd pass around us to get more opportunity. Ten Hag said it. They've been around. They've been together longer than us. But, you know, it doesn't matter because you can look good, but then you get the 35th minute.
35th minute. Talk about a debut.
Sanders out of shade into sunshine. Away from Gabriel. Here's Sancho. Rolled up for Marcus Rashford. One more here for Antony! Gabriel comes out of position and that leaves him short. And Rashford knows as soon as Zinchenko goes narrow, the ball is to just slip outside and let him run onto it. And Antony waits, doesn't go offside.
Sir, what a debut goal. What a counter-attacking goal for Manchester United. Like you said, you know, Arsenal, after that overturned goal, 20 minutes, they were really putting United under pressure. But given a chance, it's about quick, decisive attacking football. Bruno doing it right. Rashford doing it right. Antony staying onside. And then he still has to finish. Nice finish from the lad. It's a great goal. Way to make a mark on his first debut and that big price tag. So he's already living up to it.
I mean, I'll tell you, you see Harry Maguire out there. He's like weighed down by the pressure. And Antony looks like it ain't touching him. You know, like he doesn't even feel it. He shows up, hey, give me the ball, scores, bends it around, like no problem. Like you love to see that. You bring in a big money player and he just already has the swag. Think about it, like Sancho didn't come in like that.
No.
You know, Sancho came in like that, signed, got the ice, he's on the jet, all the hype, and then he goes on the field, looks a little heavy. Antony comes in looking light. Looking like he's ready to go and looking like he's a serious player. And you know why? Erik ten Hag knows, which means we trust Erik ten Hag. Antony's going to be a player. He needs time, though. You saw like he was doing the whole Ronaldo step overs and stuff like that. I thought that was a right as well.
No, like you said, he's a raw player. He's a talent, and he's got a lot of upside to him. But this shows what it's all about because big-time players take their moment. He didn't have a lot of big opportunities in the game, but this was the one he had, and he's still got a lot to do in that position. But, hey, that's what you wanted, a left-footed attacker on the right side, and he came in, scores a very good goal, makes an instant impact, and you know what? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, the player, someone who Erik ten Hag has rated very highly, went all behind with a big fee and living up to it, like I said, because this is the goal you need. Put the sting right back in Arsenal after they were kind of pushing you around a little bit for 20 minutes. And this goal just kind of, gets Old Trafford all behind you.
He provides so much balance to our attack. And then after this, it was still like bend, don't break, get into half, like up 1-0, which we ended up doing. But it was kind of like I had that feeling where it's like, oh, no, like we got to really change it up or come out with something different because Arsenal looks to be, having more of the ball. Looks like they're not weren't creating anything, but like it looked to me like we got to switch it up because if the status quo continues, they're going to tie it up.
No, I agree. I was almost thinking that, you know, he would have made that kind of CDM, bringing a Fred, bringing a Casemiro earlier because as we'll get into in that second half, Arsenal came out and they were putting United under pressure. And I just think we had an opportunity to kind of break on them like we inevitably did. But you needed that, you know, one of those Brazilians breaking up play in the center of the park because, like, you know, like we'll get into. So Arsenal came out and looked to dominate the second half and get one back because maybe that team talk from Arteta finally worked.
No, it was just the dynamic of the game didn't change. You know, and so it was always going to be United trying to counter. But, like, the reason why I was nervous is that we couldn't get a hold of the ball. We couldn't calm it down. We couldn't sort it out, right? That's what we needed to do. Arsenal kept winning it high, kept playing it right back to them. And, you know, we were just on the back foot ever since that we kicked off the second half. 52nd minute, double chance for Arsenal, but United hold the line well. We were holding. By the way, when I say, like, Arsenal had the ball, they weren't doing much with it because our defense was, like, outstanding. And Ten Hag has, like, sorted that out so fast, which is incredible. Really believes in it. 58th minute sub, Ronaldo is on for Antony. I was a little confused here. I thought this had to be the CDM. But you and me are thinking the United of old, like, lock it up. Ten Hag's thinking, we need another goal. Antony can't do the full 90, get Ronaldo out there. He's the greatest of all time. But unfortunately, you know, 2 minutes later, 60th minute.
Unfortunately.
It's half an hour's business to do first, and Jesus is through, and Saka scores! And Arsenal have...
So it's the last thing you want to see after United defended so well for large parts of this game, bending, not breaking, and then they just kind of get caught out, balls given away, and it just wasn't the same shape, discipline that we'd seen throughout most of this match. You know, we get cut open, and, dude, they get the tying goal. Heartbreaking. I was worried at this point.
You can't give the ball away there. That mistake causes the goal. I mean, that's just exactly what it is. But, you know, I think Arsenal kind of smelled blood, pressed up high, and then that allowed us to get at him, 66th minute.
You know who else smelled blood? Marcus Rashford, sir.
Eriksen. Bruno Fernandes, beautiful ball. Marcus Rashford's onto it. And Rashford scores!
Eriksen on the ball. Brilliant ball to Fernandes. Ball to Rashford. Exactly the same. He's onside. And when he gets in this position, probably, I've been critical in the past of his 1v1s.
Sir, what a pass to Bruno. What a pass from Bruno. And Rashford still with a lot to do. Gets a little bit of that Mank luck with that bounce. But it's a great goal. It's an important go-ahead goal. And Marcus Rashford looks to be finding his form just when Manchester United need it. But Bruno Fernandes getting back to his best. What a ball he put in.
Yeah, and Eriksen also involved. I mean, I thought... What Eriksen, Bruno is stupid. That pass from Bruno is stupid. And Rashford, way to finish it. You know, I was a little nervy there. I thought he maybe took too much of a touch. Ends up getting a lucky deflection. We get that goal, and then boom, Old Trafford's back in it. Arsenal's melting. Soft serve FC. They don't have a chance. 67th minute, Fred for Sancho. 69th minute, we were putting the pressure on Arsenal now. This is when the tide really turned. Is this Rashford goal, Arsenal just, they faded so hard.
So
we were
hard.
Pressing them. Ramsdale made an error. Bruno almost added a goal. And we were just getting at their back line, at will. And in the 75th minute, Rashford ices it up.
Fernandes, no flag. Christian Eriksen homing in on goal and finding Rashford! Face-to-face with a buoyant Stretford end.
Woo! I like watching Ben White sit like that. Oh, keep stretching, buddy. Same players. So the same link-up involvement. Bruno, Eriksen, Rashford. What a goal. Eriksen finally gets his assist. Marcus Rashford times his run oh so well. And the Gunners are just watching as United put another one past them on the break. Big, big goal. An important match for this Manchester United side. So this was a huge one.
Eriksen, what a ball. It's like when he has the ball in that position, you're like, goal, guaranteed, like 100%. The Dane, I mean, what a player. Like, I'm so happy he's a Manchester United player. It's insane, and he's so good.
So good.
the passes he's able to unlock, it's crazy. If you look at it, just need his like passing highlights. The fact he's able to like do a defensive job, come to us. He doesn't play in this role. He's willing to do a defensive role. He was like shadowing Odegaard. Then he's like unlocking the attack with these amazing passes to like Bruno and Rashford, etc. So, I mean, what a player! So happy and for free. That's just insane. I mean, who needs? Who's that guy who plays at Barcelona and he's got some money issues? What's his name? I don't even know.
Who?
I don't even know his name anymore.
I don't need.
We got Christian Eriksen, baby. Let's go.
That's right.
80th minute sub, Maguire and Casemiro for Rashford and Martinez. Casemiro right off the bat had like a heavy touch, and I was like, yeah, maybe that's why Ten Hag isn't playing him. So, and then when Maguire came on, I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I looked at the time, and I was like, Harry's good for 2 and 10. I was like, Harry could literally could concede two goals in 10 minutes. Like, just like,
his first 3 minutes when he gave away that free kick and yellow card, he just looked like he wasn't up to match fitness. And my first thought was, damn, they should have traded him for Pulley. Like, because Sir McGuire's 29, and he's just not going to be able to play this style of football. We play such a high line now and so fast. And, like, if you get caught out, you need to be able to track back. And he just looked like he was playing at a different speed. Like,
sir,
he's playing,
you know,
sand.
What? You better watch your mouth on this podcast. He's the captain of Manchester United.
He got the band back. My wife was watching. She's like, he's the captain now? How's that work? I was like,
there's only one captain. He's the captain.
You know,
he might not wear the armband. He doesn't wear the armband because he doesn't play, but he's the captain of Manchester United, and we'll see how that goes. That was all she wrote. Manchester United 3-1. What a win. Buzzing. I'm sure all of the American doubles around the world are buzzing. We just need that. Like, Arsenal, we went through it the last five against them. They've gotten some lucky calls against us at home. Like the Aubameyang offsides one that was bizarre, a bunch of fixtures. But dude, they ain't no good. I'm glad we finally did it justice. 3-1, be a potato all day. Stats: United 10 shots, Arsenal 16 shots on target. United 6 to their 3. They had 61% of the ball, but they didn't do much with it. United 39%. Passes 461 to 307. Fouls: Manchester United had 13, Arsenal had 9. And Manchester United have won 4 of their last Premier League matches after losing their first 2 this season. They are only the third side in Premier League history to win 4 in a row after losing their opening 2 in the season after Tottenham in 11-12 and Arsenal in 18-19. That's not good company to be in. Just going to let you know that.
Well, I'll take the 4 wins.
And Bruno Fernandes has assisted 23 goals in open play in the Premier League, the most of any player in the competition since his debut. That's incredible. And Antony becomes the 100th Brazilian to appear in the Premier League.
Premier League!
He's the youngest player from the nation to score on his debut in the competition. So, you do enough caveats there, you're making history.
There you go.
But Bruno, that pass to
insane.
That pass to Rashford is, like, that pass to Rashford is unbelievable. That's incredible.
It's vintage
incredible,
Bruno,
sir.
Right?
I don't look at the table, but apparently people are talking about it. You want to give him the table? I don't look at it before Christmas. So.
As you should not, but people are talking about it, so we should just remind folks, because they come to American Devils for all the latest, and this is the latest. It started bad first 2 games of the season, sir. 0 points. We were bottom of it, but now we're 5th. Arsenal are still at top. They're 15 points. United only 3 behind. We got City at 14 points. Spurs at 14 points. Brighton ahead of us at 13. United with 12 points. Chelsea behind us at 10th. Liverpool, Brentford, Leeds, Fulham, sir. Like you said, it's too early to make anything of it, but people care, and it's a big turnaround because right now Manchester United are the informed team in the Premier League with the best record in the last 5 games, or at least 4 games at least. 4 on the trot. A lot to like. I'm sure Erik ten Hag is liking what he's seen as well.
It's going to be an interesting year. Scouse bastards fading. Shitty drawing. Some weird teams. Like the start, the amount of fixtures, the World Cup. It's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. But yeah, well, you can't take it seriously till after Christmas, but every game you got to win it. We got to try to win every game. But sir, what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Erik ten Hag.
The Manchester United manager. We're just trying to analyse the game ourselves, Erik. I'm sure you're doing the same thing. How would you sum up what we've seen over that 90 minutes?
I thought our start was really good. It was, I think, the best 10 minutes from till now. Really dominant in opponent's half. And then the cancelled goal, a little bit breakers, and a little bit of losing composure, and that's not necessary. You have to get that in the game, keep going, play your game. And so when we did, when we learn that, we will be more even a better team. But as you saw, there was again a good team on the pitch, a good team spirit. Also in pressing, maybe not always the good routines, but they fight, they recovered. Arsenal created, of course, chances, but I think we also did, and especially in the break, we scored great goals, I think.
Were you at times worried when Arsenal seemed to get control of the game in that first half and in periods in the second as well?
Yes. Worried is a big word. I know our defending line can deal with that. But you know, they have a lot of creativity. And what I said, they have good routines. But we could have done things better, but that will come. We are not that long together as Arsenal is. And when we get that in, we will be even more get control in the game, and that is what we have to work for. But that's hard work, and so still a lot room for improvement.
The first 15 minutes of the second half, I thought Arsenal got really on top. Was there any time in that 15 minutes where you thought, I need to change this? You know, because then it went 1-1 and it was like, oh, that was it then. You know, I know, you know, for that first 15 minutes, was there a time? Because obviously when it went 1-1, did you ever think, should I have changed it in that 15 minutes or not?
No. No, I think we had a good plan, but we didn't get it on the pitch. Mm. And I think when we should have, we could control it. And then it's no problem. So we will work on that. But as you see, even if the team gets a setback, they deal with it. They fight back. And that's really cool to see. That is this mentality, I like that.
Eric, going back to the Brentford game, the real disappointment with that game. You must be delighted. I know it's only four games, but I always look at Man United teams and look for characters and personality. Even today when you were under pressure, there's still composure. I never felt for 1 minute Man United were going to lose today, even when they're under pressure. And that's a great reflection on the team. I think the character and the personalities to win 3-1, they could have got another few at the end. Is that a big plus for you over the last few weeks?
Definitely. And I think your analyse is so see I at as well. I must say, Arsenal, they played well, but we defend well. And then what you say, I never had the feeling they will break us in their good possession game with a lot of movement and creativity. But we have a good defending line, but we defend as a team with all 11. And still, what I say, we can bet a little bit better pressing organization. We can keep them further away from our goal, and we can control the game now. Same as in possession, a little bit more composure on the ball, a little bit more switch of play, and you control and dictate the game even more. But as I said, we are not that long in the process.
Sir. You got to hear from the new manager, especially after all the pressure he's been under and what a result. Given a really just kind of thought out answer back to Roy Keane about never thought like they were going to lose the game, always thought like they were in it. Paul Merson was asking him if he's going to change things up after they gave up that goal in the 60th minute. But he's like, no, that was the plan. And the man's got a vision. It seems to be a hard man to please, but that's the kind of man you want running a club like Manchester United. The history and the pedigree we're used to. So he looks like he's well fit for the role and just growing into it, to be honest. Likes what he sees on the pitch, personality, perseverance. Sir, exciting things ahead.
No, exactly. And he seems to be the number one at Manchester United, and that's how it should be. That's how it's always supposed to be. Ten Hag, growing into the role. Man, I'll tell you, after he looked like... His look on his face at Brentford was like, what's going on here? And you know what? He figured it out. There was a bunch of clear the air meetings, etc. Benches Ronaldo, benches McGuire, benches Shaw. And then comes out with this new look Manchester United, and they start playing and acting like a team. Who would have thought? You just had to follow your gut. And a lot of managers have been killed by McGuire. Not dropping them. But you know what I'm saying?
I know.
There's something weird going on at this club, whether it's Fletcher in his ear, somebody in his ear, telling him you got to play these guys. They're made men. And he went with the nope. And look how we're playing. And like, that's the same thing with like Rangnick. Same thing with Ole. Like, your eyes don't lie.
Ball don't lie.
You know,
and he tried like, it.
He's going with it, dude. He's going with it, dude. If you're not going to put in a, if you're not going to start cramping.
Right.
You know, you're not going to give me 110 everything you got like a maniac. And you know who's a maniac? We haven't talked about it at all. Cristiano Ronaldo.
He is.
The game's like over 3-1. He's like yelling at everybody.
Furious.
Like, give him the ball.
Furious.
He needs to score. He's like so upset.
That's good.
And that's the, but you know what? It's like when he's on the field, it don't matter what shirt he's wearing. He's trying to score a goal. So like, I'll take that. But that him acting like a lunatic with like Bruno and Fred not giving him the ball. Like
two up.
That's up two. He's like, just like, he's an absolute madman. So like, I like that. We need dogs. Ten Hag, you know, he's got his dogs. Like, we're looking like it again. So you love to see it. Everything seems to be coming together for the Dutchman. You know, I'm trusting him from now on. I'm not questioning no lineup, questioning nothing. Like, I can trust Ten Hag. I can't say that for a long time.
He's the man now, sir. Can he bring us home? Can he bring us the trophy that we're long that we've longed for since Gdansk? You ready for this?
There's the next match.
You ready? That's right, Manchester United fans. We are back in the Europa League, everybody's favorite competition, Thursday night football. And we're starting at Old Trafford on Thursday. Real Sociedad, big match, sir. Are you ready? You ready for Thursday night football?
Sir, I was in such a good mood. And then you had to
remind you.
Hans and Franz are back on the turntables. What a theme song. I'm not going to say I've missed it. You know. I definitely am going to say that, you know, I feel like I'm in like a bad discotheque in Uzbekistan right now, hanging out with the Zoolander DJ. But that's just the way it is. We got to be playing for the. It's another way we can get into Champions League, right? I mean, you win this competition, you get a trophy, you get Champions League. It's worth playing for, but not the early stages. I don't want Ten Hag to play the A team. Eriksen needs a rest. Varane needs a rest. Martinez needs a rest. We got to be thinking B team only. I do not care if we get bounced in the group here. I don't care about nothing regarding this competition. It's all about the league for me.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, we have to make full rotation, especially after today when I thought it was an opportunity for him to play a Fred across Camaro to rest that midfield because they've been playing so many matches. I decided not to, of course. It worked out. But this is Thursday Night Football. We got another match on the weekend, Sunday. We're playing Palace down in South London. You got to rotate. Like, you got to do full rotation. Dubrovska, you know, new back line. Play Garnacho. Give Ronaldo a run out because, like you said, Eriksen's been playing too much. Bruno's been playing too much. Rashford's been playing too much. Basically, everyone in that back four has been playing too much. So, let's freshen things up. Ready?
No,
here we go. Also, sorry. Here we go, sir.
Beat drop.
It is officially back, sir. The Europa League. That music. Get used to it.
Whoa.
Da, 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 da.
You know, it's hey, the end, they dropped the beat. It's not bad. It's like that. It's like the first 2 minutes of it.
It's a lot of build up.
Okay. Interesting fact. I'm digging here. You know why something matters in this competition? You know how messed up this whole thing is? Is they had to create another shitty European competition named the Conference League to motivate you to want to play well in Europa League, because if you're the third place team in the group,
oh no.
No, you go to the Conference
League. No, we don't. Do you?
Yes, you do.
It's fourth or first.
Yes. So, yeah, but if you get first or second, you're into the knockout. Right?
That is brutal. Maybe you can play more football.
Third in your group, you go conference. Oh. It's conference knockout though. And then the problem is you win the Conference League, you get in the Europa League. You know, so it's like this, it's this horrible, like, horrible system of, like, Hans and Franz that never ends. So we do need to come in, like, first or second, then get knocked out. It's incredible how they motivate you to, like, play in Europa League by creating a worse competition. This is the world we live in. But look, we got to own it, that bitter medicine. Maybe I just miss those angelic voices of the Champions League, you know.
We'll be back.
You know, those old good days, Manchester United. It's tough. But that's right. We're playing Manchester United versus Real Sociedad at Old Trafford. If you remember, we played them in Europa League last year. We famously mispronounced them, and we're sticking with the Real Sociedad on this podcast. It's group stage game week one, Thursday, September 8th, noon Pacific. Lifetime versus Saucy Dad. We've won two. We've drawn two. Last year, we played them in the Europa League, and we beat them on aggregate 4-0. We should be able to do it even with the kids. I'm not going to get bothered about Europa League. That's just where I'm at with this. It's all about the league. On to Crystal Palace. Like, couldn't care about this, honestly.
We're covering
it. I never had that attitude, but I'm just like, I'm sick of this. And it's because of Villarreal. It's because of the yellow submarine.
I know, Gdansk, bro.
De Gea hitting the penalty. Like, I've had such a bad time.
Should we rewatch that game?
Hans and Franz did it so hard, so bad, and like killed Ole. Like, it was like the death Ole with the leprechaun suit. De Gea penalty miss, like the whole thing, like the shithousery and like extra time. And so I'm sorry. I'm rattled. This Europa League.
Get through it.
I'm gonna improve over time. So Sociedad coming into it, they drew Atletico Madrid 1-1. They did get bossed by Barcelona 4-1 earlier, so you know, shouldn't expect much from them. But they'll probably be better than Southampton. They'll probably be better than Leicester City. So it'll be an interesting test. And you know, the Spaniards, we've always struggled with them, and they like that shithousery. So let's see what, I'm just curious who Erik ten Hag is going to play. I think that's the most interesting part about it. A little history about Real Sociedad, more commonly referred to as Real Sociedad La Real in Spanish. They come from the Basque country. And if you know anything about Basque country, absolutely nuts. Real Sociedad won La Liga title in 80-81, 81-82, and finished runner-up in 79-80, 87-88, and 2002-2003. So, like, the 80s were a big time for them. They've also won the Copa del Rey 3 times, and it contests the Basque Derby against Atletico Bilbao, which everyone knows Ander Herrera, who drinks Australia by the cast. He's not Spanish. He is Basque.
There you go, sir.
A great song. He went back to Bilbao, honor free from PSG. And traditionally, the club followed a policy similar to its rivals of Athletic, only signing Basque players. And the first player that they decided to sign who wasn't Basque was Republic of Ireland forward John Aldridge in 1989. So they won the league, La Liga, with only Basque players twice in 80-81 and 81-82. While a strong Basque contingent has been retained among its players nowadays, both non-Basque Spaniards and foreign players are represented at the club, and its youth selection subsequent to all Basque era has been very successfully in developing internationally renowned players such as World Cup winners Xabi Alonso and Antoine Griezmann. So both those players come from Real Sociedad. You look at how they like to line up, the 4-1-2-1-2. Don't know any of these players.
David Silva, sir. You know David Silva, sir, number 10.
David, yes. I had no idea he's back on Sociedad.
He is. Tough opponent, sir. This is probably the toughest opponent in our group. You know, made a little easier playing at Old Trafford. But, like you said, the Spanish teams in La Liga are always a challenge. Trickery, shithousery. The Basque ones are even more so. Special breed. San Sebastian, great city, sir. Great city. And a big match. So, like you said, the most interesting thing about this is going to be what starting 11 Ten Hag relies on. I hope he does, like, full sail changes, because he's been really leaning on this 11 that he's been playing week in, week out. and we've had a lot of games. So
I have a feeling he's going to be the type of manager that, like, he's going to set the tone and be like, this Europa League don't matter. Like, I hope so. He's thinking about finishing top four. You know, this is one of those where you play the kids, you get away with it, and then you get a knockout stage, you kind of see how it's going, but you got to prioritize the league. That's where your bread is butter as a United manager. You got to know that. Injuries, Pelestri, ankle still out. Wan-Bissaka, he had a knock. Brandon Williams, it's undisclosed still. Nothing on Brandon Williams. And he was not sold. And Anthony Martial, you know, he's got that calf issue. He was in the stands today. Not available. We shall see. Given those injuries, what is your lineup here?
Sir, I got the Broivska in net. I'll figure out how to say his name eventually. Back four, AWB, Maguire, Lindelof, and Shaw. That's a throwback. Speaking of Ole, that's an Ole back four right there. I'm going to do Casemiro and Fred. I think those two need a run out, and I think they'll look good together. Donny Van de Beek, I think he was injured for today's match, but I was going to say Bruno in his place. Ronaldo up front, Sancho on the left, Antony on the right. You could even do a Garnacho, which would be good to see, I think, instead of Sancho, who's been playing quite a few minutes. Maybe Alanga instead of our new Antony, instead of Anthony Alanga. I'm going to mix that up a lot. But that's my 11, sir. What you got?
So what's the goalie's name that you think?
De Bruyska?
You say it again?
De Bruyska?
Dubrovka, are you Dubrovka? Kidding me? There's like letters not even in his name that you're making up.
Well, I'm not even reading it. I need to read it. Where is it? Yeah, yeah.
Dubrovka.
Like, there you go.
Dubrovka.
I told you I messed it up.
I just trying to make it. Just like give you some rope. So that's all.
Say it again. Four fans by fans.
Always trying to have a laugh. On this pod, laughing is a riot. Have a laugh at Arteta, De Bruyska. I like that. That's a good nickname. Dave saves. No, I'm just kidding. Dubrovka in net. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof, Shaw. It's amazing how that's like Ole starting back four, and they're all out. Like, that's incredible, right?
It is.
Casemiro, Fred, this is, you got to rest Bruno for Nash.
You do.
You know.
You should.
I don't.
Give me an 11, sorry, bro.
No, I know. I got Ronaldo, Garnacho, Alanga, and then
with Donny, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think Donny. Put Donny at 10. Yeah. No, that's all. So I'll say Casemiro, Fred, Donny, Ronaldo, Garnacho, Alanga. You got to win the game with that team. Like, that's a good team.
It is.
And this is another point, is that we finally have, like, depth at United. There's, like, actually, like, decisions and rotations. Like, that's a serious team that, like, obviously they don't play that well sometimes. Like, that back line doesn't play that well, but they should. I mean, that's a lot of money in that back line. Like, it's that's like a £200 million back line. And AWB, Maguire, Lindelof, and Shaw. And that's like our second tier. So it'll be interesting. I hope they play well. I'm rooting for them, because now that we have all this depth, and Ten Hag seems to be like a maniac for, like, you just work hard and you will earn it. Like, that's how United should be. Like, there's a path back for all these players. Like, Casemiro can take McTominay's spot from him. That's how it should be. They should be battling to get on the team sheet. And I do feel we have enough players around Carrington where that is going to be the dynamic. And if that's the manager's attitude, where the best play, and if you mess up, you're out, then we'll get better. It's the only way to get better. Booking the bookies, United heavy favorites, minus 160. The draws, plus 300. Saucy Dad to win, plus 430. Given those the odds, what is your score prediction here?
So it's going to be a tough fought match. 1-0 United. Ronaldo gets the winner. What you got?
I got 3-1. Ronaldo hat trick. Let's go.
Let's go. I'd love to see it. Ready for some news.
United in the news. Interesting article here. Title: Erik ten Hag brutally axes five Manchester United stars from the dressing room, including Philly Jones. Apparently, he has basically said, you ain't
You out. You gone, bro.
You don't got to go home, but yeah, you got to exactly. get the heck up out of here.
Yeah, basically. And that,
it's like, and that's how it always should have been. Because you know what? It's like, Phil Jones got that, don't sit next to Martinez. Don't touch Varane. Don't get your bad cooties all over these players. These players are good players. You get out of here. You take that pink Lamborghini. You get hanging out with those 23-year-olds. If you want to sit here and collect that contract that Ed Woodward, who got fired and gave you, it's like you can't hang out in this locker room. That's totally fair. I think that's a good change of mentality. Just like if you can't sell the Deadwood, if the front office can't sell the Deadwood, you can make him hang outside out back.
Shoe him in the back. If you're not going to sell him, just like put him in the shed. That's not all of that. Tuan Zabi, you know, I thought, given how many question marks there are around Maguire and Lindelof's fitness, you know, maybe he'd feature given all our games. Brandon Williams, that was like a sale that probably should have been done, but apparently it was because of wages. And then Mendy and Shortire are players that probably should have gone on loan. But certainly you don't want Phil Jones around, sir. That ain't good for nobody. Reminder of the mistakes made in the past. The fact that he was given a 4-year contract in 2019 after his injury record. That's everything you need to know about Ed Woodward and his tenure as the head of the football club.
Also, like, it's a business, right? So it's like Phil Jones could just, like, go to Manchester United and be like, hey, you know, you owe me, like, $10 million. Pay me, like, $7 million. Let me go play for Blackburn in, like, the third division. Like, there's a way to get out of it. I just don't know why we're not able to, like, just say, hey, you know, we're good on you playing here. But, you know, there's a liability we owe you. We're happy to negotiate and, like, pay you out so you can just move on. This whole, like, he's showing up in the first team locker room for, like, 3 years. It's, like, weird. You know, it's just, like, and this is the whole problem with why Manchester United is not run right. It's, like, when we move on from a player, like, whatever it takes, pay him out top dollar. I don't care. Just get him out. He's not playing for us anymore. Let's move on. Speaking of the issues of Manchester United, Gary Neville, new book, his quote on the Glazers say, the Glazers treat Manchester United like a cash machine, creaming off money while the team are in disarray and the ground is rusting. It's clear they have to go. Couldn't agree more with Gary Neville, and I'm glad he's being more outspoken against the Glazers' ownership. It's what we really need. Shout out to the 1958 for a great protest shutting the Megastore before the game. Even though the results on the pitch are improving, it's only 4 wins. It's been a decade of mediocrity. Like, let's not forget it. Like, the way this club has been run, the people who are in the positions that run this club, look at the stadium, look at the finances. I'm waiting for the next quarter financials to be released. It's not good. Like, just look at the United stock price. It's like they've run this club into the ground, taking every dollar out. It's time for them to go. And oh, by the way, someone wants to buy him. Someone who's a fan, someone who knows how to run the sports team, Surgeon Ratcliffe, please come and save us. There's news around his bid. Obviously, if you like F1, Mercedes, and his company, Ineos, they've won a lot. And Hamilton, who drives for him, he said he would be interested in help in coming in as part of a bid. Lewis Hamilton, part owner of Manchester United with Ratcliffe. Like, are you kidding me? Like, let's go. Like, we have the Glazers. Like, these guys. Like, I want to see Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Lewis Hamilton in an owner's box, like, killing it for Manchester United. Who wouldn't want to see that?
Absolutely, sir. They're both fans. We know the current owners of Manchester United don't like the team, don't care for football. They're not fans. So shout out to Gary Neville. Shout out to the 1958. Shout out to all the fans keeping the pressure on. Even this, you know, there was a great picture of someone that said, like, hey, I did your visa, and it was the lady who did the visa for Anthony Casemiro and one other player, and she was wearing green and gold, sir. So, like, keep the pressure on the Glazers. They have no business running this club, even this window, right? The most money ever spent by United. But if it was done with a little bit more foresight, we could have used around 60 million of that into other players. So, Lewis Hamilton, Jim Ratcliffe, what a combo they would be, sir. You got the money, you got the flash and the pedigree. And Hamilton just being an absolute winner and a Manchester United fan, both of them. So I would love to see it. There's been apparently no news around the offer, around the bid. I see the Glazers hanging on for as long as they possibly can. And I think the $200 million window is only more proof of that in my mind. But we'll see, sir. Story to watch.
Look, Manchester United is a public company. Like, it's, you know, this information is very sensitive. If anyone's working on a transaction, like lawyers, bankers, etc., like, they're not going to be talking to the Daily Mail about it. Like, that's just, like, you lose your job. So you wouldn't know, you know. You wouldn't know if anything was happening. So it's not like this – like, Ratcliffe can say he's interested in buying the club out in the press, but you can't talk shop, look at numbers, like, structure a deal. Like, that has to be announced. A formal bid has to be announced. There's protocols around it because it trades on the New York Stock Exchange. So it would make sense for things to quiet down because there's just not going to be like bites coming out in the press. Like, nobody has access to those rooms.
Talk Sports not going to be in those rooms. You know, Danny Murphy's not going to be sitting at the table with Goldman.
It would be me and you like 7 years ago wearing suits, doing all the math for these guys, like in the rooms, like sweating and not have enough time to do a podcast.
Yeah,
like, that's exactly where we were like 7 years ago.
Well said.
You know, and yeah, those younger versions of us are in there doing it. And like, and the alternative is there could be nothing going on. The Glazers don't want to sell, but like, fans don't like the Glazers. They're public. You can see how they run this club. We've been Glazers out for the entire podcast for me over a decade. It's like the math is like gravity. You can't get away from the financials. Like, even paying $85 million for Anthony, like I said, it's on the credit card. It doesn't help this club get a new stadium, get a new training ground, get back to basics. And I think the thing here is like Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Lewis Hamilton, these types of characters – if they understand that Manchester United is bigger than them, right? It's the world's team. It's like billions of people around the world love this club and they're stewards of the club, right? And it will be passed to somebody else and passed to somebody else, but it's really owned by all of us. Maybe not technically, but the fans have such a big part of it. And that's what John Henry Davies famously felt when he was such a great owner. And a great owner feels that way about the team, not like money, 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 give me money. It's like there's plenty of assets the Glazers can own to just extract cash out of. It doesn't have to be like a global team that people watch and like love that they don't even pay attention to. And that's where the disconnect is. So there's no Glazer turnaround. The Glazers are never going to care about United. They're never going to run it right. And they got to go. That's how we have to keep the pressure on.
100%, sir. I couldn't have said it better myself. It is a football club. It is an institution that is beloved by millions of fans, billions of fans around the world. We've had owners in the past. We've had lots of owners. And like you said, they are stewards. You never really truly own the club. And we've had bad ones. We've had good ones. The Glazers are as bad as they come. But I'm not saying the next owners will be perfect or great, but I'm hopeful that, you know, with the good comes the bad and the bad comes the good. So Lewis Hamilton, Jim Ratcliffe, and enough money to make this happen. That could be exactly what Manchester United needs. It might be a long way from that. But either way, dude, you could have a successful football club and make a shit ton of money, and you could have both. You know, you don't have to treat it with like neglect and have it run by people who have no experience or background or credentials in order to do so. So Glazers out, and forever, sir.
You know, we just need another like 400 million Patreon subscribers, and we can buy Manchester United. But if we bought Manchester United, sir, we'd live in Manchester. Literally live in the stadium because I would spend every dollar possible to buy the club that I wouldn't have an extra dollar left over to buy a house. So I'd literally like get one of those boxes, put a bed in there, and I'd just like live in the stadium. Not nice.
Let's go, baby. Bunk bed, sir.
Bunk beds in it, but it's not a nice stadium.
It's really not.
Unfortunately, it wouldn't be like a great place to, but I would live there until we figured it out.
Yeah, get the roof fixed.
And that's the type of attitude you got to have. Jumping to fan questions here at Jamal Mota, quote, "Sirs, this team is exciting to watch. Martin is stomping on Jesus' foot and strutting off is what we missed. Rashford on the left, Ronaldo up front was a game changer. Eriksen is the best free transfer of all time. Ten Hag, what a manager. On to Hans and Franz. # Glazers out."
There are so many good players that played well today that, you know, you almost can't keep up. All 11 deserve a shout out. They all contributed in some way, including the players you mentioned, Eriksen, Bruno, Rashford, Ronaldo. It's just dude, that's what you want, team performances. You're not being bailed out by hero ball. It's like, that was a team win in a line of four team wins. So if we keep doing that, that is on something, because that's how you get results, is team performances week in, week out.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jamal, talking about Ronaldo coming on, Rashford moving to the left, and
so good
getting his goals. Like, he didn't look that – he didn't look too spectacular at nine, because I think Arsenal were, you know, more aware of that run. But coming left to coming off the left and behind, he just looked lights out. So maybe that's where he needs to play, but we don't have a lot of number nine options. So it will be interesting to see how Ten Hag sets it up going forward. Then you have Sancho too. So now we have options with Antony coming in on the right. I like to see that. Atai Kircher, what a game, what a result. Four on the trot. Let's keep this train rolling. The question is Ten Hag at the wheel? Drop that Hansen Franzer. Thursday is your Europa League time. Cheers to a great day toppling the Gunners. Okay, you know, everyone else seems to have forgotten about Villarreal. They're all in on Europa League.
So they're maybe over it. They're over it. They're ready for Thursday night football, bro. Hate to break it to you. We're going to the club.
Hey, sorry, guys. My bad. I just need
to get the memo.
I didn't drink enough dark ales to forget Villarreal, the Yellow Submarine. I guess I need to get back on that one. At the Alex Davis 33, quote, Rashford reborn. We may not have gotten everyone we wanted, but our signings have undeniably improved us. Licha and Malacia have solidified the back. Eriksen may be the best free chancer ever. Antony off to a roaring start. Loved his celebration. Erik ten Hag will return us to glory. I'll tell you what, it feels like it at the moment.
It does, and there's going to be bumps along the road, but we got to keep our eyes on the prize, get these owners out, back the manager, back the players that want to work week in, week out, and leave it all on the pitch, because you're starting to see that. You're seeing an identity. You're seeing a personality. You're seeing pride to fight for that badge again in front of Old Trafford. That was good to see. It's just like the fans are behind you, the team is behind you, and they put in a big performance. We got to keep that going, because it's early days. You know, it's not even Labor Day here in the States yet. We got a lot of football to play, so we just got to keep on, sir, as they say.
At LMUTUNGU. Not going to try to pronounce that. Quote, it's still Glazers out. Outside of that, the best thing they did was bring in Ten Hag and grudgingly back him with signings he believes in. Hopefully the new blood can continue to bring the hunger and commitment to coming matches. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. It's true. It's like Ten Hag's biggest challenge is just like was getting rid of the wet noodle vibes. It's like Rangnick was just like, he showed up and was like, oh my God. Like, you know,
this place is a disaster.
Like, that's why it's like, he saw Harry play. He's like, oh my God, I need a center back. Like, get this guy. I know him. And then clearly, like, you know, not saying anything bad against Alonga, but like, that's not his best position on the right. We need somebody. He knows a dog who can go there. And it's like, we just collected a few personalities and it was enough because they're all starting. Other than Casemiro, but they're all starting and they all got that dog in them, and that's what's changes, because you can see like the defending is incredible. How well we're defending as a team is incredible. That's coaching.
It's lovely to watch.
Manchester United has literally bought players and destroyed them. Like, that's all we've done for like a decade, is like literally like overpay people who come and do horrible here. Ten Hag is getting more out of the players than we have. I haven't seen that in a long, long time. Like, getting more out of some of the parts. You look at the back line of Malacia, Martinez, Varane, and Dalot. He's getting better performances than they're worth on the face.
Who used to do that, sir? Who used to do that?
I know.
You know who used to do that. And the real thing I was going to say to you was, like, we could have gotten Brendan Rodgers, bro. He's bottom of the league. He's bottom. He's going to get fired, bro. They're going to fire his ass. We also could have gotten feel-good Pochettino. Like, you know what? That would have blown up in smoke as well, because Erik ten Hag was the man for the job. Cleaned out the deadwood, like you said. Changed the mentality. Upped the standards. No holds barred. There's no room for compromise. Only perfection, sir. He's pushing. Dude, he pushed the board to spend more money. He's pushing the players to work harder. He's probably pushing himself, his own staff, to do better. That's what we need. We need that. We need to, like, we can always do better. Always room for improvement.
I mean, no one's hired
Brendan Rodgers, sir. Brendan Rodgers.
No, but Pochettino literally could be coaching Leicester.
He might.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting, but look, enjoy the day, everybody. It's a great win. It's a statement win. It proves that Ten Hag is the real deal. It proves he's turning around this club in the right direction. And it's what we need, like hearing Old Trafford like that. You heard the crowd behind the player. Like, when was the last time you heard that? Like, 2-1, we go, the crowd's going nuts, and we push the team on. 3-1, like, and the players feel it, and they start to believe it, and then sort of the legend is reborn, this club, from the ashes. United, you loved it. You love to see it. So that's why...
We never die, sir.
That's why last year, you know, we watched all those games.
Everyone. You know.
Every single one for this moment. So I'm so happy. Couldn't be happier. If you like the American Devils, we are four fans by fans, sir. That is the podcast. Apologies for my voice. My son went to preschool, got me sick like week one. You know, for all the young ones out there, you know, you'll know one day when your kid goes to preschool, you just get sick all the time. This podcast, four fans by fans, support the pod. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store, write a review, like, subscribe. It all helps. This small time operation. Give us our top 10 downloads last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? Washington, D.C., Tampa, Florida, Seattle, Washington, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, Bellingham, Washington, Normal, Illinois, Barrington, Rhode Island, Atlanta, Georgia, Englewood, California, and last but not least, Belfast, Ireland. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week
Belfast.
In. Belfast. So there's a lot of mispronunciations today. Like you said, waking up early. I got a new baby, less than a month old. This guy's sick.
Drewski, you're like, what's the keeper's name again?
I couldn't tell you, bro. I'm not even going to try. Dubrovka.
Dubrovka. I like that
there
one.
There you go. That's a great name.
Look, a little programming notes. The Thursday night. Thursday football pods. We used to be able to do Thursday nights. We might be doing those Friday. Like, we get up at like, literally get up at 5:30. We went over to this guy's house, record the pod. So if anyone's questioning the pod never sleeps mentality. So unfortunately, we're not going to be, I'm also going on vacation. So we're getting the pods out as fast as possible. It might be the next morning, just letting everybody know in case you're used to the post-match pod. Juggling everything and getting everything out as soon as we can. We love this team, love this game. Sir, give us a song you're going to play us out to today.
Sir, it had to be United Calypso. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the day, like John said. Savor it. And United march on. Big match on Thursday. Let's go.